Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian, and I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport.
This is episode 207, and today we're going to continue with part 3 of creating true passive income through notes.
While listening to this, if you guys have questions, please head over to our Facebook group. Just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook. If you're part of the community, or if you're not part of the community, just ask to join. If you're watching this on YouTube, just ask your questions in the comments and we'll get to you. If you get any value from this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to the show. It lets us know that you're learning and enjoying the content. And honestly, it motivates us to create these episodes. We also are looking for your feedback. So please rate and review wherever you listen to this episode.
Awesome. Cody, tell me, what'd you think about our last couple of episodes?
Super eye-opening for me. Something I'll definitely start doing in my business because I want to create more passive income for myself. Might as well make it true passive income.
Well, and we talked about, too, when we were talking about those two duplexes, and I asked you, what is your exit strategy? Mm-hmm. And you said, I always look at it from me buying it, but depending on how much money I'd have to put down, right? How much money did you have to put down on either of those other two deals?
Nothing.
No. But even let's say this. Let's say that if you did have to put down, let's say, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 even. You have some choices, right? So one, if you put down $15,000, you were making $1,000 a month passive income. Is that a good use of your money?
Yeah, I'd say so. Make $12,000 off of $15,000 in 1 year.
Yeah, it's a good cash on cash return. Coming close to that 100%.
Oh, yeah.
What if you borrowed that $15,000 and from a private lender and you paid them $150 a month or whatever to make $850?
Yeah, that would not cut into profits much.
Right. So always think about if the cash flow is really good, how do I stay in it as opposed to wholesaling it, getting paid once? And even though we kind of looked at a way to try to wholesale it to a landlord, I didn't love that. I thought we were giving up too much by doing it. But I have some commercial deals where depending on what it will cost to close and then close again, because some of these are significant amounts of closing costs, right? So it would be ideal properties to stay in the middle. Now the cash flow is not $1,000 a month, it's $3,000, $4,000 a month. So always keep that in mind. And Nicole, what were your thoughts on it?
It's actually making me think that, I just moved to Florida and I wanted to buy more rentals, and maybe that's not exactly what I want to do. I mean, I'm in an apartment now, so I want to house hack something, but it's probably a better idea to hold some notes if I can.
Well, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with having some balance, right? So where you may have some notes and you may actually own some properties, that way you do get to take advantage of the depreciation and the appreciation. And yep, you both are more new to real estate investing. Okay, you should really try out having tenants and see how much you like it and then make a decision. But I'd tell you that for the most part, notes are hands off, and you know, your property manager is not calling you, telling you you have a problem. So the only time that you have a problem is when the check didn't show up, and it happens on occasion, but far less than you would think. So, all right. So we're going to talk about another example, and I think you'll like this one. It's going to be a similar type offer, but when I show you the example, you'll be like, wow, how did you even make any money off of this? And it'll be on a condo, which you would think that most people don't want. And you would be right, because if you were buying it for cash flow, those HOA fees tend to get in the way and make it difficult to cash flow. But when you're not paying those HOA fees, they are just fine. It doesn't make a difference one way or the other. So, Cody, why don't we... Oh my God, I didn't record, did I?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, oh, you are recording. I am recording. My
don't
bad.
Don't scare me like that, yeah. Jeff.
I'm like, oh, like my God, did I do that?
You're just talking for fun.
Yeah. All right, so let's set up this example. My bad, I panicked there. all right. Okay, so we have a 2-bed, 1.5-bath condo.
Okay.
It is worth, so the seller thought it was worth 180. When we ran our comps, we thought it was worth 190.
Okay.
The seller owes 30. They have a payment of $410 a month, PITI. So everything, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And just so you know, the taxes run like $837 a year. There's an HOA.
How much are we talking?
$140 a month. The property is in good condition, but you know, rent condition. And nothing super exciting about it. And okay, it will rent for $1,100 to $1,150.
Is that what it's renting for right now, or is that the pro forma?
No, he was living in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what it would rent for. All right, so what did he want? I think he wanted, he wants $170,000.
Okay. So asking 170.
Yep. So Nicole, are you super excited about this deal?
No.
Why not?
Well, you said is asking 170.
Yep.
Right. And it's ARV is 190. I mean,
yep.
I don't know. 1% rule.
1% rule would be if he's asking 170 and he's getting $1,150 a month in rent, we're not there yet either, right? So
yeah.
So no 1% rule, or really that close, and not much equity.
Yeah, when I see it, I think a cash offer is pretty much out of the equation.
Yeah. The good thing was, is he said I would be open to terms. Okay. So
the magic words.
Yeah. And we did make him a number of offers. However, one of the things that sellers tend to, when they have these small mortgages, I don't know what it is, but they're very concerned that the bank's going to call the loan due. Seriously, what bank is calling the loan due on $30,000? That he's probably had this loan for 10 plus years, and and he's making the payment of 400. What is the point of calling that loan due, right? That would make no sense. And if you're not understanding what I'm talking about, every loan has a due on sale clause in it, which means that if you were to transfer title to the property, the bank has the right to call the loan due, which means that they have the right to get paid off. They don't do it very often, and it would make even less sense here. But for whatever reason, sellers with small mortgage balances are very concerned about that.
And like you always say, banks are in the business of making money. And to be able to do the due on sale clause, they have to stop taking the payments for the property. They got to stop making money on something that's already performing.
And it gets even worse. We can absolutely go into what it means for a bank to actually exercise the due on sale clause, because it's kind of idiotic on their part. But that's another episode for another time. All right. So what I want to do is I want to come up with an offer that you guys think makes sense. And then what we'll do is we'll look at the results and what that means to us in a separate episode. Okay. So, Cody, you've had some experience putting some creative finance stuff together.
Yep.
Where would you start with this? What would you do?
So with this one, the asking price, I feel like, well, I guess what I'd have to figure out is what kind of cash flow we could get. So looking at the exit strategy of basically renting it out versus owner occupant versus just wholesaling it to another landlord.
Well, then let's do this. Let's work out looking just like we do any kind of income property. Mm-hmm. What do? We identify what we can get in rents, right? So we've done that.
Yep.
And let's identify what are the expenses. So we have taxes of $837 per year.
Okay.
And we have, I'm going to guess insurance. This is a condo, so insurance is typically less. So let's call it $450 for the year. Sorry, my dog is barking in the background. And we have HOA, $140,
yep. And that's per month.
Yeah, so that's $1,680 for the year. And we would have, we're probably not going to have much. Utilities are all going to be the tenants. There's not really any maintenance. So maybe, you know, maybe utilities like water, maybe water, sewer, garbage, 500 for the year.
Yeah.
And some repairs, right? So I don't know, 1200. Yeah, well, with a condo, we don't have any roof or exterior stuff. And, this is pretty basic. You know, we may have to clean carpets and if we had any kind of turnover and stuff, but it's pretty basic, right? All right. So, what do we got?
It's $4,667.
Okay. And in income, let's say that we can get 1150 times 12, 13,800.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Nicole here. I just wanted to stop for a brief second to ask you if you're getting any value from this episode, please head over to wherever you listen and rate and review us. It makes it to where we can continue to make these episodes for you guys. If this is your first time listening, please subscribe to this podcast. If you're more of a visual learner, we also have a YouTube channel. You just have to go to the Creative Financing Podcast channel on YouTube, and all of the new episodes have a video to follow along. Make sure you're subscribing, liking, and commenting on those videos. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to the show.
So I'm a little over 9,000 in total,
right?
Total profit then?
Yep. The problem that we would potentially have is that if we look at the asking price, right? So we already know that we've got to cover some debt. You know, I don't know how much it really is. If taxes are like $70 and insurance is like $35 or something. So maybe $300 of that's principal and interest, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. And so what we know that we're going to have to cover that, but they want $170. And so if there's $13,800. So we have nine. This isn't really profit. This is really what we would call like NOI, right?
Yep. Gotcha.
So 9,133 divided by 12 is 761. There's not much room to offer a payment to the seller, right? I mean, 761 on a $170,000 purchase is probably low just for that monthly payment, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's no cash flow left over for you or some buyer, right?
Correct.
So using it as a rental really does not make much sense. Mm-hmm. And trying to structure... let me ask this. So where do we go from here? What do you think, how do you think we should try to structure something based on that there's not much money as a straight rental, right? Because we got to pay all those things. So immediately what's going to come to my mind is what?
Trying to get rid of those expenses or going with like an owner occupant.
There you go. Right. Because if we sell it to an owner occupant, we eliminate the taxes, the mm-hmm. insurance, the HOA, the utilities, and the repairs. Oh, we eliminated all of those expenses. So now we've got something way better to work with. Okay. So give me an idea. And you know, I'm putting you on the spot. I know it. You weren't prepared for this. I get it. But how would you, what would you try to do here? Even if you're just throwing numbers together, whether they work or not.
So I would try to do something that basically covers the owner's payment plus a little bit more. So maybe give them $150, $200 a month.
Okay.
And then I would figure out how much I could charge an owner occupant.
So basically you want to be able to pay the owner, let's say $500-$600 for a principal or principal and interest payment. Mm-hmm. But does that really work based on what he's asking and how much equity he's going to have?
So it'll depend. So what's 20% of 170,000?
So
I guess I'd go to 34,000.
Yeah, it'd be 136.
136.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to run that at just 4%.
Roughly, so you're just trying to figure out what it would be going to a bank, right?
Yeah. So at a bank, it's about 650.
Okay.
And I assume my payment would probably be a little bit higher if I wasn't putting as much down.
Okay.
So yeah, with that being said, I would probably need to pay closer to 750.
Maybe.
To the owner.
All right, so tell me, how would you try to do it? So what's the purchase price?
Okay, so my offer, I would do purchase price, let's say 173. I'm learning to try to go a little bit over what they're asking to try to entice them.
Yep.
And then for the down payment, I personally would probably like to stay a little under 10% or right around there, because an owner occupant, I couldn't get much more out of that. Yep. So let's say 15,000 down.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're cutting it really close there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can calculate. So that'd be 158 is the present value.
That's right.
So 158, we can keep the interest rate a little lower. We'll go 3.25, okay. Just an arbitrary number.
Yep.
Over amortized over 30 years. So that would put the payment at 687. So pretty close to what we had talked about.
So interest of 3.25 and okay.
So yeah, interest.
And yeah, that was amortized over 30 years, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Oops. And then what I would probably do, just for one offer, I'd probably put it around like 6 or 7 years, just as a starting point. Of course, it depends on what they want to do.
Yeah. What would you do this one for?
So we'll put this one at 7 years. So term of 84 months. And then put that back in the financial calculator, solve for future value. So at the end of that 7 year period, it'd be $133,540 owed as the balloon. I'm just going to put 133. Okay. And so that's about the offer that I would make to them.
Yep.
Knowing that we'd probably be able to get quite a bit of cash flow on the other end. To an owner-occupant.
Well, let's think about what that would be right now. So what would your exit strategy be?
So for my exit, everything is going to be marked up a little bit. So if this house is worth 190, and like you mentioned before, basically somebody that can't go qualify for the bank loan, they'll probably pay more.
Yep.
So I would do a purchase price, probably 205, I'll say.
Okay.
So build that in right away and maybe could go more. So down payment, I'll keep it about 10% and do 21,000.
Okay.
So make 6,000 on the down right up front.
Okay.
So that puts us at 184 as the present value. And then amortize it over 30 years again to start. The interest rate, I'll start it at 6%.
Okay.
Just to see what that yields us. Kind of arbitrary, just knowing that we'll be able to charge more because they're not going to a bank loan.
Yep.
Payment with that is $1,103. So pretty similar to what it could rent for.
Correct.
So really, you could probably lift that up even a little bit more.
Well, remember though, they're going to still have the taxes, the insurance, and the HOA that they're going to have to pay. So... but I think you're right. Certainly someone, it's possible that someone would pay $1,103 for this. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we'll keep it there for now. And then the term, we'll keep it the same at 84 months.
Okay. Let's see what your balloon is.
Yep. So put that back in for N, solve for future value. So 164,936. Is the balloon 164,936.
Perfect. Okay. So I want you to keep these because I want to go over what you just did is exactly what we just are talking about, which is how to create true passive income. And what I want to do is I want to go through the results in our next episode, as well as tell you what my offer would be, because it's a little different than yours. I like yours. That's certainly something that I would do similar. And just for, and I'm not saying that whether one is right or wrong. It's not. It's just personal preference.
Yeah.
But for me, what I'd probably do is I'd probably even go a little bit higher on the price, but I'd come down off the down payment some. I'd probably be more like around 9 or 10. And that's me. I always want to try to get the money that you get up front. It sustains you, right? It's it's paying your monthly bills, your business costs. And I know that not every deal's got to be a home run or it's got to pay, you know, but I look at, hey, is there, what's the way that I can get very similar to what I would get as a wholesale fee from my upfront money? And
gotcha.
It's not always possible, but that's what I would do. And the rest of it, the only thing I'd probably would have done is, depending on if I had any other offers, I would either have that as my longer term offer, or I would shorten the term. And it really just depends what else I was doing. And I'd probably leave that as my longer term offer. And I'd probably even, let's just look at this for a second. Let's think, what does the seller gross, right, on this deal? So seller gets 687 times 84. It's 57,708 plus 15,000 down payment plus around 133,000.
Yep.
So the seller will gross just over 205, like 700. And I'm sure they would have gotten to 206 because there was some change in that balloon. So not bad. Not bad at all. They were asking 170. They're making not necessarily 35,000, but you know, close, right? In that vicinity. So to me, I like that offer. I think that's strong. I'm pleased that that you were able to come up with that right off the top of your head. So Nicole, what about you? What are your thoughts?
I'm actually surprised at the 205. So I think that's pretty good too, to be honest. It's more than they're asking. So I don't know that they would turn that down. And the exit, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but I guess it's okay.
Well, the good thing is on the exit, right, that if there's some room there, and if 6% didn't fly, 5.5, 5.25, 5, probably would. It's somewhere in that range, right? Could this, you know, the only drawback to me about this deal is that it's a 2-bed, 1.5-bath condo. I'd like it better if it was 3-bed, right? So, but are you seeing where the potential is here? And when we go through the results, if you don't see the potential, then you're just not looking. So Nicole, did you have any questions or did you understand all the calculations?
No, I think I'm getting better at these calculations.
Good.
So it was easier to follow along for sure.
Great. All right, so why don't we wrap this episode up, and the next episode we will go through my offer, and then we'll look at both results, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
All right.
If you are looking for any additional resources or you like what you see and you want to learn more about it, check us out in the show notes, check us out in our links. Contact me. I'm happy to chat with you about whatever we have to offer. Any last words, either of you?
Nothing on my end. Excited to see the results.
Yep. Go out and create some terms. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.